You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
A lot of reaction to our Shador Philip Lindsay conversation. Evans absolutely crushing Mark this morning. I'm loving this. I guess Mark has a soft spot for rich, spoiled private school kids and has to remind everyone how hard they work when nobody's questioning it. From Neil.
Hold up.
No, there's just a lot of people that don't like the fact that Shador comes from money. I mean, why do you hate that? Why do you hate that a guy's family's been productive? Has some money. There's a certain amount of jealousy that taints your opinion, Mike. And
my opinion.
Yeah.
No.
I just didn't hear I'm a victim.
You didn't hear any victimization at all in this. Okay, here it is.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways.
Okay, victimization or chip on your shoulder or, you know, look at how I overcame this or that.
Right.
That you can, there's a blurry line between all three of those.
Well, sure, but does it make it any less? If he feels like, hey, man, I came from a small private school and I didn't get, you know, the same looks that some of the big 6A kids school is.
He did, though. He got offers from 26 D1 schools.
Okay.
So did he get
full ride scholarship offers to, don't know that. I got offers from all the Pac-10 schools. They offered a preferred walk-on status. Still an offer.
Did you get preferred, okay, your time as a lineman, did you get preferred walk-on status at Nebraska?
No.
Okay. Preferred walk-on status at USC?
No.
Preferred walk-on status at Texas?
Nope.
Okay, so I something tells me that the D1 offers that Shador Sanders got were legitimate D1 offers.
Well, I mean, something tells me that too. But I'm just saying, it doesn't mean that he didn't feel like, again.
By the way, okay, if you are playing the, hey, I came from a small private school, I didn't have the same things that a 6A school had to offer. Okay, mm-hmm. If you truly felt that, why in the world would you turn down Alabama and go to Jackson State?
You went with your father.
Right. Because you've got a built-in advantage that nobody else coming out of high school can take advantage of.
What is that built-in advantage?
Deion Sanders is your dad. And you're going to get a chance. And you're going to get a chance. And you're going to play right away. And there's going to be an offense that's totally built around you.
Yeah.
Not bad for a guy coming from a small private school.
Yeah, no, there is a privileged opportunity there without question. Now you're not going to get the same facilities, and you're not going to get the same love, and you're not going to see the same, you know, television stuff and all that. But you know, you get to see you, and you follow your dad to see you, and he's the head coach. Like, eventually, you know, you're going to Peter principle,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to reach the level of your incompetence. And he hasn't done that. He has still excelled. He has still been very good. He is still considered a first-round pick. He would have been, had he come out this year, still considered a first-round pick.
Honest question
so
for you.
You did have to work.
Seriously, honest question for you, because you know the pro environment, you know the locker room, you know everything, especially for guys that come in as, you know, big-time, especially quarterbacks, big-time Division I. Big-time first-round prospects and draft picks. Mm-hmm. How is he going to be received in a locker room with everybody understanding that he's Deion Sanders' kid, and the reason that he is with that team that he's now joining is in maybe large part because this is what Deion demanded and steered him towards.
So
how's he going to be received?
He'll be received like any first-round pick. You better produce. Because at the professional level, doesn't matter. Now, when your dad rolls around, it's kind of cool because he's got a gold jacket and he's pretty freaking good, and everybody
know
who.
Do you think you know Deion well enough that for all of the bluster that and all the talk that comes from Deion, that once Shador does land with an NFL team, Deion disappears?
Deion will always
be omnipresent.
Deion's going to be omnipresent because Deion's omnipresent. He's all over the place. But it's not going to matter if his kid can't play. If his kid's not good, it's not going to matter.
Will there be an initial resentment towards Shador by the veterans in that room? Initial.
No. But there will be a, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. And you damn well better be able to play. But that's the way it is. You know, I look at my son's own journey in Major League Baseball. Like, did he have the best bats? Yep. Did he have the best shoes? Yep. Do we play on, you know, a lot of really good? Yep. Yep. All those things. You know what? I can't go out there and throw 98 for him. He's got to be able to do that. When he gets shelled, he's got to have balls enough to come back and still have confidence. I can't do that for him. I can't do any of that stuff for him, right? Now, he was a smaller kid that threw really hard and did all those things that he did, and those things are great, and he did earn. By the way, he got drafted after his redshirt sophomore year by the Oakland Athletics in the eighth round, and he called me up, and I said, hey, congratulations, that's awesome. He's like, hey, thanks. I said, what's wrong? He goes, I'm a first rounder. I said, what are you going to do? He goes, I don't know. Can I go back to school? Yeah, go back to school. If that's what you, if you want to prove it, go back to school. Now, that's a journey, right? And it doesn't take away from how hard he worked or you know, it doesn't take any of that stuff away. You know, and unfortunately, he got injured all the time, and that's his story. But it's still, he still had to overcome, you know, a lot that he had to overcome to make it to that level. So I just don't discount. I'm not discounting his feelings, and I don't hear a victim. I hear, hey, man, I've had to overcome some stuff too. That's
good,
all right.
Good conversation. Hey, before the games pick up again in March Madness tomorrow, the Sweet 16 games, if your bracket is busted, you get a do-over.
First place.
Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game coming up tomorrow. I think late afternoon is the first game, so get signed up for that. I know I will, since I am last right now in the fan.
Oh, you still got a chance.
I still have a chance. Let's go, Houston. Let's go, Houston. Coming up next, the question of the day, Broncos country. How would you feel about Sean Payton giving up the next couple of draft classes to go get himself a quarterback? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Tell you what, I don't know if he's serious or if he's just playing silly games, as Vic would say, playing silly little games. But Sean Payton has created quite the conversation. Everyone trying to read into, are the Broncos really serious about trading the farm to move up to take a quarterback that Sean covets? Or is this just talk? Is it a smokescreen? All this diversion, all this, it's fascinating stuff. So the question that we're asking Broncos country today, taking the temperature.
Rectally.
Because we're all about accuracy.
Yes.
Asking Broncos country, how would you feel about Sean Payton giving up the top of the next two drafts, at least, to move up to take the the quarterback he covets. And reaction's been, I'd say, split. You know, there's some are like, yeah, go for it, man. Swing for the fences. Others are like, man, that's way too much draft capital for a team that has a lot of holes to fill. And isn't the idea of Sean that he should be able to do more with less at the quarterback position? How do you stand on it?
I personally, now, I'm biased because I've looked at all the film, all these guys, and I don't think any of them are worth moving up to grab.
Okay.
And I like J.J. McCarthy. I like where he comes from. I like the pedigree. I like his intelligence. I like the fact that he actually operates things from the line of scrimmage. I actually like that he did probably, or he did huddle up. He did call plays. He did have, you know, can it packages and everything else. So I like the fact where he comes from and who coached him. So I really like it. Do I want to move from 12 to 2 to get him? As we pointed out, that's 11 picks.
To go from 12 to 2.
11.
Yep.
That's
mark math.
That's mark math. Yep. So just count that in for what it's worth. No. I don't want to move that high. And I don't know, I don't believe that there's anybody in this draft that's worth moving up to grab. So with that being the premise of, you know, of my analysis, I don't believe that Sean would look at any of these guys and go, yes, J.J. McCarthy is worth going up to 4 or 2 or whatever, 3, 4. So I don't believe any of those guys are really viable for the Broncos. I just don't. And I think a lot of what they're doing now is they're doing their due diligence, right? Just in case. Like all of a sudden, if, you know, people lose their minds and it does go, you know, it goes Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, the Patriots, you know, trade out, and somebody goes Drake May, and then the Giants take, you know, Jaden Daniels, and then, you know, or whatever, however it works out, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting here at 12, and you know now nobody needs a quarterback. Now it's going to fall to us, and we'll take Bo Nix. Or maybe the Raiders at 13 jump over the top of you, and they get to 7 or 8, and they decide to take Bo Nix. Like, so maybe it's now, maybe it's the top 5 quarterbacks go, and you're sitting there at 12. And then you're like, okay, well, now it's about accumulating picks in the draft. So now let's either take Brock Bowers at 12, or, you know, a corner at 12, or let's move back down to 18 or 20 and let's take 2 players in the first round. And maybe we get an offensive lineman and a corner. And then maybe we wait until the 3rd round and we pick up, or maybe we trade down even further and we pick up a 2nd round pick as well. Now maybe we take a Michael Pratt, or maybe we wait for a Spencer Rattler, whatever the case may be. I don't know how it's going to work. But I just don't believe, based on the film that I've studied, I could be wrong because, you know, I don't know, but based on the film I've studied, I don't think any of these guys are worth moving up that far for. And I think from a quick processing, quick decision-making standpoint, Bo Nix may be the guy that you think makes the quickest decisions.
Robin Castlerock, Mike, I can't believe you're abandoning the khaki pants theory when we need it the most. This is the year to trade down, build the core, pay the debt for past mistakes, and draft Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler in the 3rd round. Why are you changing? I haven't changed the khaki pants theory, which came about because it actually came about watching Jim Harbaugh wearing khaki pants, and was the idea that you don't have to go... You don't have to overdraft a quarterback, and that you take into account the mind-numbing statistics that show that these quarterbacks that get drafted high up in the first round have a over 80% bust rate. It's not worth it. The khaki pants theory came about as a result of the drafted quarterback, any quarterback theory, which I just bristle against the idea that with a track record that points towards 80% failure, you're going to place equal value on all five quarterbacks that come out in the draft. Pick one, anyone, doesn't matter.
Right.
I hate that. What makes it different is the presence of Sean Payton.
Yep.
And whether you like Sean or not, the fact is he's here. They traded for him. They paid him. They gave him the power. Based on what he did in New Orleans, based on building an offense over the years with a great quarterback that was one of the top offenses in the league year after year after year. That's why you brought him here. So if he identifies a guy, and I believe it's a guy, not any guy, a guy.
Yeah.
Then you know what? That's what he's here for. And if he believes that this guy is that special, then I want him to go after him. Cost be damned. Because you know what? Andy Reid had a good quarterback and Alex Smith. He was winning 12 games with Alex Smith. But he saw something in Patrick Mahomes and said, that's special.
Right.
Moved up, got him, rest is history. Sean McVay, right? Everyone believes Sean McVay is one of the best offensive guys in football, right? He had a guy in Jared Goff that he drafted. No, I'm sorry. Goff had already been drafted. But he inherited Goff, took Jared Goff and the Rams to a Super Bowl with an offense that was dynamic that year, but got shut down in the Super Bowl, and he decided, you know what? I can win with Jared Goff, but I don't know if I can win big with Jared Goff. Moves Goff for Matthew Stafford, immediately wins the Super Bowl. So there's plenty of examples of really successful head coaches, offensive-minded head coaches who already had pretty good situations at quarterback who decided there's somebody special out there that can really take us to the next level. And if Sean Payton, who was brought here to do big things offensively and at the quarterback position, if he identifies a guy, then go for it, man. Go for it. Cost be damned.
You know what that's called?
Because that's what you're here for.
You know what that's called?
What is it?
Brass in the pocket strategy.
Brass in the pocket?
Yeah. I'm special. So special. It's Pretenders. I got to have some of that QB. Give him to me. So if you got brass in the pocket, then move up. Move heaven and earth to get the guy. I just don't think there's a brass in the pocket guy here. I don't. And so therefore, I think that I'd be very surprised if they moved all the way up to grab a guy. But that's what makes it so damn interesting, because what if there is? What if I'm wrong? That sounded stupid. What if I'm wrong?
Coming up, you don't get your own island by saying, what if I'm wrong? Coming up, what's trending? You guys look down on Syracuse basketball players. Hey, they were always destined for greater things, as you'll find out next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, it had to come to an end at some point. It came to an end after 9 straight wins. The Avalanche just not able to get that extra oomph last night against Montreal. They lose to the Canadiens 2-1. Cale Makar, though, not getting down too badly.
Something like this gets thrown in your face, we can get a little frustrated, but I think for us, we just gotta take a step back. And like I said, I think as a group, this was a big, big learning kind of game tonight in terms of just how we're able to handle that. Obviously, we've been down going into third periods and stuff, but not being able to simplify and kind of getting frustrated is just shouldn't be our MO. So for us, it's just getting back to being kind of that even keel type of team.
Am I being too much of a Avs booster, Avs homer, Avs fanboy to say, no biggie, it happens, nothing to see here, it's only a problem if it becomes a pattern? Is it okay to just blow off this loss as no biggie?
No, I think it is. I mean, after 9, hockey, basketball, you win 9 in a row. Eventually, there's going to be a letdown, and especially after you come back from 4 goals down to win a game in Pittsburgh 5-4. Like when that happens, there's an energy that is expended. There's an exhale oftentimes after something like that. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, Mike. I think it's safe. Nothing to see here. You can be like Kale said, it can be a really good learning opportunity. So I think you take the good lessons from there and you try to apply them moving forward. That's gonna happen.
The NFL is king. They're invincible. They know it. And they don't care who they steamroll in the process. So for years, the NBA has carefully cultivated the idea that Christmas Day belongs to them. And here comes the NFL. They put on some Christmas Day games last year, got huge ratings, and now they've said, you know what? Doesn't matter if Christmas falls on a Wednesday this year. We're rolling out two games on Christmas Day. And there's nothing you can do about it.
So you know what that means.
Now, by the way, you said, hey, you know, it's no big deal. Teams playing on a Wednesday because the teams that will play will have had the bye week before. That's too late in the season for the bye week.
No, it's not Christmas.
Christmas? That late in the season?
Oh,
nobody has bye weeks that late. That's
sure
week,
they do.
That's week what? That's week. Usually all the byes are over by about week 13 or 14, right? You're talking week 15, 16 now.
No, I don't think so. Where is the where the last bye weeks were? Can you Google something? Can you figure
that's
out?
That's a tough one to find right away.
I don't know. Well, let me just look real quick. So go back to the NFL schedule. You guys just hang on.
I'll tell you what. Let Johnny do that. All right? That's what Johnny's there for. That's what Fever and Roger do.
Because you can't.
When was the latest... The last bye week of the season last year.
Here's what will happen.
In the NFL.
Here's what will happen. You know what will happen? The week before the Christmas Day games, it'll be Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and some other really good team will get a late bye. They'll get the latest bye week, and those will be your Christmas Day games. Mark it down.
Okay.
I said it.
I guess you could easily also... Because you still do the Thursday games as well.
So a
team could play on a Thursday and play the next Wednesday.
Yeah, you could do that too. But you only have one Thursday night game. They're having two games. So it's got to come off bye weeks.
Yeah, but week 14 was the last bye week last year.
Week 14?
Yeah.
And what was the next game?
Week 15?
No. Well, yeah, but what was the date of the next game?
Oh.
When was week 14?
Oh, when was the... Okay. So when was week 14?
Now I can find that out quickly.
When
Hold
was
on.
Week 14?
NFL.
While you're doing that, I'm going to set up the next story.
Okay, go ahead.
So Patriots owner Robert Kraft, I'm not going to call him Mr. Kraft. Jeez. I don't care if you're a billionaire.
Hey, week 15,
you're still
Mike,
Rob or Robert.
Week 15 was the 18th of December.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I think you definitely can figure it out.
Robert Kraft expressed his dismay with the Dynasty documentary that came out on the Patriots that aired recently.
Uh-huh.
Said, quote, "Felt bad that there was so much emphasis on the controversial. I wish they had focused more on our Super Bowl wins. A little disappointed there wasn't a real more positive approach." Do you know who produced the Dynasty documentary?
No.
Kraft Productions.
Oops.
The dude's name is on the production company that produced the documentary. That you're now coming out and saying, I felt bad that there was too much emphasis on the guy.
Maybe he should have been more. Maybe he should have been more involved.
I'm calling B. I'm totally.
By the way, this was
intended to be a Bill Belichick hit job with the idea of promoting the Krafts.
Well, I saw,
and now that there's been some blowback from some of the Patriot players.
Yeah, that's
Kraft's like, oh, well, I didn't.
I have seen nothing but, like, I've seen a bunch of clips. I haven't watched it. But every clip that I see is I've seen players complain that, like, all the hours I sat down for, and the only thing they get is the two negative things that they came out of it, right? And I've seen a lot of it being about Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
And how, like, crazy that dude was.
And that he was allowed to get away with...
Oh, all right, you almost said it.
He was allowed to get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was such a...
Yeah. You almost said he was allowed to get away with murder.
Yes, and that would have been really bad.
But he wasn't.
Well, let's just say I think Robert Kraft could have massaged the message a little bit better.
Too soon?
Yeah, this is inappropriate.
So, did you see the story? About Diddy?
I did.
Got busted for drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you see who his alleged mule?
So, a mule is somebody who carries the drugs for you, right?
Right. So, the Diddy's alleged mule is Brendan Paul, who is a former Syracuse basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud. Feeling so proud. Now, this guy wasn't... He was basically a walk-on, okay? Over the 3 years he suited up for the Cuse, he played in a grand total of 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up transferring to Fairmont State University in West Virginia. And in 2 years there, scored 51 points. So, now he did play alongside Jim Boeheim's son, Buddy, in prep school. Anyway, I'm just so glad that Syracuse education paid off.
Here's what I'm saying.
Used it to become, allegedly, Diddy's mule.
How does that guy have that kind of connection? And you went to Syracuse, you got zero connection.
Exactly.
What happened to
Why
you?
Why wasn't I asked to be a mule?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you guys get that?
How
does that happen? How do you, I don't know.
How do you get into the mule trade?
How do you get in the mule business?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm good at carrying things.
Is that something you put on a resume? I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you have to give a resume?
I don't know.
How do you, how do you sell yourself? Like, if this is all true and Diddy's looking for a mule, how do you...
Right.
Go through an interview process?
I don't know.
Word of mouth? Do you have to get referenced? I don't know.
Walk up and swallow a balloon? And say, I'm really regular. I'll reproduce this in about 18 hours for you, Diddy?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I do not know.
You guys, by the way, Fever couldn't wait to send that story out to us yesterday on our little text chain.
Oh, because of the Syracuse connection?
He sent it out and immediately below it, go Cuse!
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You thought that would hurt me. It doesn't. I'm able to laugh at it. By the way, quick story to pass along for you CU basketball fans. That didn't take long. According to John Rothstein, Colorado's Eddie Lampkin is planning to enter the transfer portal. Left TCU, came here, 1 year, see ya,
on his way. See, that's where that transfer portal, that's where they need to make some, they need to put some legislation on.
Oof. Also kind of, that's kind of a red flag there, because that tells me that he thinks they're not going to be very good next year, and that they're going to be rebuilding next year, and he wants to go somewhere where he has a chance to win.
That could be, but that could be a NIL deal too. Like, hey, if you come to our school, we'll give you X amount of money.
Maybe. Anyway, that's the word. Speaking of college hoops, if your bracket is busted, yes, my hand is up, guilty. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000. And a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All this summer in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game coming up tomorrow late afternoon.
Where am I in that? I don't
know. You are first right now.
I am. So I don't need to. What you're saying is I don't need to to get into the second chance bracket, being that I'm in first.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Weird. A lot of basketball left to be played between now and the end. You're sitting, you're kind of cocky right now. Okay, Shador.
Coming up next, the Nuggets opponent tonight. Do they represent as the Nuggets' biggest threat in the Western Conference? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, it is well documented that since the NBA All-Star break, the Nuggets have gone 14-2. One of those two losses was to the team they're playing tonight, the Phoenix Suns. Lost to them at home, 117-107 in overtime. And that was a Phoenix team that did not have Devin Booker playing that night. Devin Booker has returned to the lineup. And Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant are all playing together right now, along with Nurkic, Grayson Allen. So this Phoenix team that comes in tonight, Mark, is Phoenix the biggest threat to the Nuggets in the West?
Dallas is, what'd you say, 9-1 in their last 10?
Mm-hmm.
I think Minnesota's like 8-2 in their last 10.
7-3. Oklahoma City, 8-2 in their last 10. Yep.
I do still look at Durant has won a championship. Booker can be as good as it gets. Jokic is always, like, he's got a chip on his shoulder about playing the Nuggets and always seems to perform well against Jokic. So
we saw in the last game how Grayson Allen can get on a heater and have a huge impact on a game.
Yeah. I think that they, I think probably, Mike, even though, what are they, six of their last 10? They're 6-4 in the last 10 or something? Phoenix is?
Yes.
I still think with their pedigree and their talent, they're probably the number one threat.
But can you call a team that's still in the play-in tournament? They'd be in the play-in tournament right now. Can you call them a threat? I know that Miami was in that situation last year and made it all the way to the NBA Finals.
Okay, I would ask you this. Are Vegas, who are the last place team right now when it comes to wild card, are they the biggest threat to the Avs?
Fair point.
Yeah.
The other wild card team is Nashville, and they're red hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you make a fair point. So you look at Phoenix as a team that's just sort of been laying in the weeds all year, just waiting for everybody to get healthy and
right.
Then they'll unleash it.
Right.
You know, come playoff time.
That was scary.
Did they scare you?
Yeah. Arr. Look like a bear.
Monsters Inc. there.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you big old
my
bear
scare
paws.
Meter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, you know what they kill you with? Their bear hands.
That's a dad joke, isn't it?
Terrible.
Yeah. That's right, Sid.
Well,
thank
it's
you.
It's not terrible. Yeah. Bears will kill you with their bare hands.
I don't know about that. A lot of times I like your dad jokes, but that one
was funny.
I don't know.
It's funny.
But Phoenix, yeah, hey, I think if we're talking about threats, I'm not talking about teams that I'm scared of. I'm just saying potential threats. If I had to rank them, I think I'd still put Phoenix number one. What about the Lakers? Lakers have won 4 in a row, 7 of their last 10. They just rallied from 18 down to win in Milwaukee last night without LeBron. What am I saying? Lakers.
Haven't we beaten the Lakers like 8 straight times?
Exactly. I can't talk about the Lakers.
I can't wait till Laker guy comes in. 17 banner! Plus an in-season tournament banner!
Yeah, sorry, Lakers.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma City, Minnesota, I got a text from somebody said, if the Nuggets don't have home court against Minnesota, they would lose to the Timberwolves.
Stop it.
Where would you put Minnesota?
Probably 3 as biggest threats.
So Phoenix 1.
Yes.
Then who's 2?
Okay. Oak City.
Oklahoma City, okay.
Then
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Then
Dallas. Dallas gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, I don't. All respect for Luka and Kyrie Irving. Dynamic duo. Formidable. But beyond that, supporting cast, you got what? Here are their guys. It's Tim Hardaway. It's Daniel Gafford. It's PJ Washington. Derek Lively. Derek Jones. Josh. Not over the course of a 7-game series. Could the brilliance of Luka and Kyrie together individually, could they stretch it to maybe 6 games against the Nuggets? I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, who would you put ahead of them?
I think I put New Orleans ahead of them.
You know, I saw
I think
this,
I put New Orleans ahead.
I can't remember who I saw. Maybe it was, I wasn't talking to anybody. I was watching. What's the guys on my list? J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
On my list.
Why is he on your list?
Because he's supposed to come on our show, and then he got, you know, too busy and too famous to come on
what
our show.
What the f*** are you watching? Yeah, oh, that's exactly. Right. You had to go through his people.
Yeah, I was direct messaging with him, and then all of a sudden I had to go through his people. And they're like, yeah, we'll get him on. And then he got too busy. You know, because he's so famous. So I was like, pound sand, dude. J.J. Redick. Who cares? But he was saying that finally Zion Williamson is playing like he was expected to play in the NBA when he came out of Duke. Oh, that's it. One Dukey support another, just like you're supporting the drug mule trade.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. I didn't even know this guy went to Syracuse and played hoop there.
Yeah, sure you didn't.
Text, by the way. Let's see. Penn State's known as linebacker U, Idaho guard U, Nebraska mm-hmm. O-line U, Miami the U, Cuse mule U.
Yeah, sure.
Brandon Ingram, by the way, is out. With a bone contusion on his left knee. He was down writhing on the floor the other day that I thought he had torn his ACL, but
it's a bone contusion.
Bone bruise. So he's expected to miss 2 weeks. I love it whenever I bring up a basketball or baseball injury and the time frame, and Mark just rolls his eyes. He literally just rolled his eyes.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
There's no way he makes it back in 2 weeks.
Still waiting for Embiid.
Although
4 weeks and counting.
The one guy, I mean, with that chest contusion that
Sabonis
suffered last year.
Yeah.
That tough SOB. I mean, he made it back the next night.
So I guess I would rank the Nuggets' biggest threats. Phoenix number one, Oklahoma City number two. You're going Minnesota three. I'd go Pelicans number three.
Pelicans.
Then I would go, I'd put the Kings number four and Minnesota number five.
Okay, bye.
I don't know.
Let's
do this. I just don't.
By logo.
By logo?
Yeah, who you, by logo.
I can't even think of their logos.
Hey, Phoenix Suns. The Suns can wipe out anything. That sun is hot.
True.
Very hot. Okay, so you got the Suns.
Suns, Kings.
Then you got. You got
Thunder.
But Thunder is just noise.
True.
Like, how's that going to be?
Thunder rattles dogs, though. Our dogs don't like Thunder.
No, most dogs don't like
they
Thunder.
Don't
sometimes
like thunder.
You, but like.
Got to put like the little Thunder blanket on them.
Like, yeah, Thunder blanket, or you got to have a Thunder buddy.
Does the Thunder blankets really work?
I don't know.
I cast a very just skeptical eye to the
by
Thunder blankets.
By the logo, Suns, very scary. Wolves, Timberwolves. Much more scary than Pelicans.
True. Mavericks.
Maverick? What the hell's a Maverick? What the hell's a Clipper?
Yeah.
What is a Clipper?
I think it's a... they started out in San Diego, so I think it was like a sailing term.
Oh, like the... Yeah, you're sailing across on a... Like a frigate.
Like a Yankee Clipper.
It's a frigate.
Like a Yankee Clipper.
Yeah, a Yankee Clipper. But yeah. What is a Clipper?
I
just some type of ship?
Okay.
What's a frigate?
What is a frigate?
What is a frigate?
It's a fun word to say, though.
It is a good word. Frigate.
I'm shipping out on the frigate. Don't know when I'll be back.
Yep. Got you're a two-month tour on the frigate.
Oh, you're a fine girl, Brandy, but I got to hit the frigate. Yeah.
That's what the sailors say.
We're done. So Phoenix, we'll agree with this. Phoenix is the biggest threat.
Yeah, because they're the sun.
All right. Well, they're the biggest threat.
Sun.
They're here tonight.
Mr. Golden Sun.
And let's hope that everybody's at full strength, that Jamal's ankle is okay, that everybody's out there, that the Suns play everybody, because as we all can't wait for the playoffs to get here, if we still have to grind through these final regular season games, make it worth it. And having both teams at full strength will be fun to watch. 8 o'clock or thereabouts, the tip-off tonight. Don't forget the Sport Clips presenting the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Go to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game late tomorrow afternoon. Good luck. Dover and Stoke coming up next.